every day. Amen. We should be honoring the resurrection every day, not just on the day that many call Easter. Amen. We should be honoring the birth and life of Christ every day, not just on the day that people call Christmas. And by all means, take mama out to dinner and take dad out to dinner. You understand what I'm saying to you? But let's keep the church about Jesus. Let's keep the pulpit about preaching Christ crucified. Let's keep the ministry about releasing and receiving a word that has the power to set the captives free. That's the culture that we're creating here in the house of the Lord. Amen. Word first. Word first. Always about the word. You understand what I'm saying to you? So I said this yesterday while we were at praise team practice, and I'm excited about praise team practice because praise team practice used to be an hour. Praise team practice last night was 3 hours. And wasn't nobody in no rush to get nowhere. This was important. Amen. Amen. I said this last night. I said, I'm telling you now, this is the last Mother's Day sermon and Father's Day. So I got to give the fathers one since I'm giving y'all one, mama. But after that, we're going to go as the Spirit leads. Amen. Mama. I know you've already got a lot on your plate. And mama, I know that you've tried on every hand. And I know that there are some mamas in here today that, if truth is being told, that are barely making it. And on the brink of thinking about giving up. But today I want to encourage you, mama. Stay focused. Today, I want to encourage you, mama, to stay on the wall. Mama, today, I want you to take on the challenge that I'm about to challenge you with. And it's critical that you take the challenge and complete it because everything hinges on it. I've entitled today's message, Dear Mama. And the reason why I did that is because we're going to be looking at a letter that was written by John in 1 John. It's a relatively short letter compared to others in the New Testament, but probably the normal size for a personal letter in those days. Okay, so now we're going to have a teaching moment, all right? Back in those days, it would have fit quite nicely on a standard sized piece of paper. And that piece of paper that the letter was written on was not really back then considered paper. It was called papyrus. It was called papyrus. Papyrus in an ancient writing material was similar to thick paper that you find at Walmart, right? But this papyrus paper was made from a plant. And it was widely used in ancient Egypt, Greece, and Rome for documents and scrolls by pressing, get this, thin strips. They would cut thin strips of the plant and then put them together, and then they would write the letters on it. Amen? See, I don't want you to talk about I went to church. Could you imagine sitting next to your coworker tomorrow? And somebody said, girl, you got some copy paper? And they say, yeah, you know what? Speaking of paper, you know what I learned yesterday? That back in the Old Testament or in the New Testament days, they wrote on paper called papyrus. And it was actually from a plant. And what they would do is they would cut it in thin slices and they would get it together. They would get it all together and then they'd write the scriptures on it. And what if somebody said, for real? And you said, yeah. Where you learn it at? Church. And did you know, Lord have mercy, that he sets captives free? Did you know he's bigger than depression? What could you imagine telling your coworker? Did you know that he's bigger than anything? In fact, he says, if I be for you, what if you spoke that with such power and truth that you got a text on the way home from work that day talking about, here's my address. I need you to pick me up Sunday. Amen. So this letter is written from the elder to the chosen lady. An elder is a title of authority and respect. But who is this chosen lady and her children? Before I go any further, I just want to go ahead and say, can we give God a hand clap for Pastor Chris Kennedy that's in the house? Amen. Powerful, powerful man of God. Amen. I've heard him preach sometimes, and I just be like, amen. And I write it down so I can go home and find out who he was talking about, because it was bigger than me. Amen. Glad to have you with us again today, brother. But who is this chosen lady and her children? Now we're going to go somewhere. Ministers in training, you want to catch this. There are two possibilities here. One is it could be an actual mother and her children, or it could be symbolic for a church and its members. They're both good arguments both ways, and it is probably impossible to decide for certain, but for today, we will assume that this is a letter written to a mother, not John's mother, but a Christian mother in a different city seeking to raise her children in the faith. Get this, even if this letter was written originally to the church, good applications for mothers can still be drawn out from the text. And that's what we will do today. So I will be especially speaking to mothers with children at home today. But whether you are a mother or not, listen closely, and I believe that you will find application from God's word even for yourself today. Amen? Mothers, you have an awesome privilege and responsibility given you by God to raise your children in the Lord. First John gives some wonderful instruction in this regard. John concentrates on the twin themes of truth and love. Now, I want you to catch this. Truth and love. That's what this letter is about. And there were false teachers in his time traveling from town to town and leading people astray. For this reason, John is very concerned about the truth. He's very concerned about the truth in this letter, and he lays out three responsibilities for any Christian mother who wants to raise her children in truth. One, the Christian mother must know the truth. Two, she must practice the truth. And three, she must guard the truth in her home. So first of all, the Christian mother should or must know the truth. Let's look at verses 1-3 in 1 John. This letter is from John the Elder. I am writing to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in truth, and does everyone else who knows the truth. Because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. Verse number 3. Grace, mercy, and peace, which comes from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us in truth and in love. First John, I might have wrote down in the notes, Second John. It's 2 John. Okay. All right. My bad. All right. Mothers, blame it on the pain medicine. Amen. Mothers, the first step in raising your child or your children in the truth, get this, is to know the truth yourself. You can't raise your children to know Christ unless you know him first. And I don't know about your children, but I'm gonna tell you something. I got the type of children that will challenge you. So it ain't enough to say we gonna go to church. It ain't enough to say we need to sit down and have Bible study at the house. You understand what I'm saying to you? I've got to know him. Mothers, you've got to know him yourself before you try to pawn your kids off on him. Oh, Lord. There is no question in John's letter that the lady to whom he writes is a believer. She is one who knows the truth. Notice that John calls her a chosen lady. The word chosen in scriptures refers to believers, to those people who have been called and saved by God. The same word is translated elect elsewhere. Jesus used this word 10 times in the Gospels to refer to those who are saved. So this woman was a believer, but why? Well, why is anyone a believer? Because they believe, right? Some of y'all got deep. Because he walked into my life and he saved my soul. Yeah, no. You're a believer. It ain't always going to be deep. You're a believer because you believe. But here's a question. Why do we choose to believe? Last night in praise team practice, they were singing the songs and Jackie cut everything off. And he came down and he said, "Why are you singing it?" And they would answer and he'd say, "Why are you singing it?" And they and that one person would give an answer again. He said, "Why are you singing it?" And he went through everybody, "Why are you singing it?" And then all of a sudden, after they listed the reasons that they sung it, watch this, they sung it harder. I believe the word that he used is it what they released. Why they said the reason that they said that they was singing it was because they gave the reasons, and he said, and that became the driving force. Why are you a believer? And for the reason that you are a believer, it should be the driving force that you operate out of the ways of Christ all the days of your life. Huh? You know, y'all ain't been through nothing. Do I got anybody on this side that can testify? I've been through some hell. I've been through some stuff I didn't think I was going make it out of. Okay, y'all must have came out the womb speaking in tongues. Let me talk to this side over here. Come, Brandon. Let me talk to this side over here. Is it anybody over here that's been through some hell and high water and had it? Amen. And had it not been for the Lord on your side, you don't know if you would have ever come out of it at all. Amen. I'm gonna just put it in there. Thank you. Well, see, if and a lot of you clapped your hands and jumped up and all of that, that's why you shouldn't be sometimes saved. Because you sounded like what he brought you out of was major. You sounded like what he brought you out of was bigger than you. And if that's the case, you can't be a sometimey saint. Amen. Huh? Every time that the enemy tries to get you to compromise your belief, all you've got to go back is on a memory and begin to lose your mind on the strength of the memory. Amen. It should be the driving force of why you represent Christ to the fullest. So why do we choose to believe? The Bible says because God chose us first. I remember when Miriam and I first got married, and we were talking one day, and she said, "I said, well, you know, the Lord chose us first." And she said, "No, He didn't." And I said, yes, he did. And she said, no, he didn't. And I had one of those rare moments where I could grab the Bible and prove I was right. And you understand what I'm saying to you? Now imagine the awesomeness of that, that he loved you before you loved him. Let me make it a little more plain. He loved you despite you. The Bible says in Romans 5, chapter 5, verse number 8, that while we were yet still sinners, he died for us. Lord, have mercy. Now, see, you should have lost your mind right there, because unless you ain't ever sinned, while we was yet still sinners, while we was still knee deep in it, while we was still getting high at the hotel, while we was still out here selling drugs and popping pistols, he was dying. He was dying for us long before we were born, long before God even created the world. God the Father chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose to save us. He chose to save us. Notice that John says he loves this chosen woman in the truth. And not only does he love her in the truth, but so do all who know the truth. In other words, there is a bond of love that should be between all believers. Amen? Yeah, yeah. And we have experienced the truth of who God is and the truth of who Christ is and the truth of his salvation in our lives. And so when we meet someone else who knows and shares and believes that same truth, we are filled with love for them. And why is that? Because verse number 2 says it's because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. Forever. Think about that promise that will be with us forever. You see, truth for the Christian is more than just a set of teachings. It's a person, it's the person of Jesus Christ living in us by Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ, who promised that he would be with us forever. Jesus Christ, who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know Jesus today? I want to ask you, do you know Jesus deep down in your heart? Lord, have mercy. And do you know his love and forgiveness flowing through your life? Now, I got a better question. Do the people that know you would say that you know, Jesus' love flowing through your life? If not, he invites you to come to him in faith, to receive him as your Savior, and to take hold of eternal life in him. When we receive Christ, look at verse number 3, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and in love. God's grace, mercy, and peace will flood your life as you place your faith in Christ Jesus. Isn't that powerful? All right, let's get back to Mom. The application, Mother, here is clear. You cannot begin teaching your child to know the things or to know the truth unless you know it first yourself. And knowing the truth means knowing Jesus. That's powerful. Knowing the truth means knowing Jesus. And all of us have been in situations with people that have belief in other faiths, and they will talk contrary to how we talk. You understand what I'm saying to you? And this is why my spiritual father, my first spiritual father, may he rest in peace and God be happy with him, told me, he said, never have spiritual conversations with unspiritual people. You will lose every time. Huh? You will lose every. You ever talk to somebody that was of another religion or whatever, and you knew that everything you said was on point and it was hitting, and the people over there heard you and was like, amen, and the people over there was like, amen, but the main one that was doing all the fronting, the main one that was trying to prove you wrong, he got it, and you still walked away like you lost the conversation. They'll never understand you lest they have an experience with our risen Savior. Amen. Amen. I used to be one of them. Amen. Some of you knew me. I was a Muslim before I ever went to prison. Amen. And anytime you try to talk Jesus to me, I'd be trying to downplay you. You understand what I'm saying to you? In fact, this is how confused unsaved folk be. I was out there selling drugs, but you couldn't be on my team if you wasn't a Muslim. I didn't trust the Christians. How silly is that? How silly is that? And I don't know why I thought that, you know, we were better. You know, yeah, I'm out here doing this, but at least I'm a Muslim. You understand what I'm saying to you? Just crazy. Now, the second essential after knowing the truth is to practice the truth. Oh, I'm so sick of everybody to quote the Bible, but don't live the Bible. Oh, what should we do with them? They quote the Bible, but don't live the Bible. Amen. And John speaks of practicing the truth in verses 4-6. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us. And he commanded us to love one another just as you have heard from the beginning. You know, when I meet people, I remember back in the day, you know, Kenneth and Kevin and a couple of the other brothers, you know, we had just all met and they would leave, they'd be getting ready to leave. And I'd be like, all right, man, I love y'all, man. And it would be a hard take, you know, because if you know Kenneth, he's a man's man. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm like, all right, man, I love you. And he'd be like, yeah, man. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Amen. And I didn't know they had got together and was talking about me. Hey, man, he'd be telling you he love you, man. You know, all that, right? And yeah, I love you. Lord, here I go. See, this is the problem with me. Yeah, I love you. No diddy. But. Yeah, I love you, but not like that. Calm down. And then one brother, he said one day, we were all together, all the men were together, and he said, man, I just want to ask, how can you love me, but you really don't know me? I said, I don't have to know you. God, Jesus told me to love you, and he gives me a grace to do anything that Jesus asks you to do. He will always give you a grace to pull it off. Now, peep game. Peep this. Now, I love a lot of people, but that don't mean I like them. But he didn't command me to like, he commanded me to love. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the reason I believe that he done that was because if I gotta like you before I love you, I probably won't get to loving you. Amen? Amen? So Jesus knew that, so we ain't gonna worry about like, we're gonna worry about love, because that's what I'm about. Amen? Oh, Lord. Listen, mother, there should be no greater joy for a Christian mother or father than to know that your children are walking in the truth. Walking in the truth means putting it into practice. It means living out what you believe. Like all parents, I have many hopes still for my children, for all of my children. I hope to see them grow and mature, enjoy good health, gain knowledge and skills which will help them in life, get an education, find someone to love and to be loved by. But none of that means anything if my children do not know the truth and if they do not walk in the truth. Mothers, pray for your children to know Christ, to serve him with their whole heart, and to follow after him all the days of their lives. How many of you understand or still believe that prayer works? I believe that I'm still walking in some of the prayers. Some of the prayers are being answered over my life for my grandmother, who is no longer with me today. Well, I believe that I'm still walking into some of the things. I'm seeing things come to pass that my mother prayed for years ago. You understand what I'm saying to you? Prayer still works. And praying for your children is essential. There was a quote by an unknown author that said, get this, and this is a powerful quote. It says, see to it, night and day, that you pray for your children. Then you will leave them a great legacy of answers to prayer, which will follow them all the days of their life. Get this part right here. Then you may calmly and with a good conscience depart from them. And even though you may not leave a great deal of money, you left them God. Yeah. Listen. Listen to this part. Then you may calmly and with a good conscience depart from them. Years ago, my Uncle Johnny was a pastor in Louisville, little old Baptist church, and they called and said, Stephen, if you want to see him, you need to get on down here because they said he's probably going to not make it through the night. And it was a snowy night. I'll never forget that night. It was snowing really hard. And I got down there and I got to the hospital room and all of his children were there. And all of his grandchildren were there. And my mother, his sister was there. And his brothers were there. And when I got there, they said, come on in, come on in. And they said, Johnny, you know who this is? And he said, Stephen. And we sat there and I said, hey, Uncle, I just want to thank you for all that you put in me. I want to thank you for being the first church that I ever preached at when I said that I was called to the gospel. I just want to thank you for your life being an example. And he just squeezed my hand. And then after that, he took his wife's hand and the nurse came in because these things was beeping all over the place. And he was fading out. And the nurse said, say what you want to say. It's almost here, but he can hear you. And I didn't have anything else to say. I just wanted to look at him. And when I looked at him, I realized that he was at peace. See, his children knew the gospel, lived the gospel. He was at peace because since his children knew the gospel, there was a great chance that his grandchildren were going to know and live out the gospel. You understand what I'm saying to you? He had done all he was put in the earth realm to do, and he could calmly and with a good conscience go be with the Lord. Don't you want to be calm? I know my babies are straight. Not because I'm leaving them my 401. Not because I've got them written off in the will. Not because they got a good husband or a good wife. So No. I can calmly leave here with a good conscience because they know Jesus. Moms, your children will not automatically walk in the truth. Children need prayer. They need example. They need loving discipline and correction. If you just leave your child on autopilot, I promise you he or she will crash and burn. So how do we ensure that our children will grow up in the faith? We must set the examples ourselves. We must walk in the truth if we hope for them to walk in the truth. We must practice the truth. Do you know how badly we throw our kids off when we bring them to church? Hold on, Pastor, how do I throw my child off badly if I bring them to church? Well, it really ain't when you bring them to church, it's when you take them back home. What you mean, Pastor? Well, here, they saw you holy, holy, holy. But when you got them home and you done took off your I'm saved clothes, they see a whole new you. Amen. Do you know that if you are one way in church but a different way at home, you cannot see the Lord with a good conscience because you have not trained your y'all ain't hearing me up in here. So how do you practice the truth? Verse number 5, John writes, "And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another." How do we practice the truth? It's very simple. We love one another. John says this isn't a new thing. This isn't a new command. This is not some strange new teaching. Rather, this was the teaching of Christ from the beginning. Love one another. I want us to start working on that deeply in this ministry. You understand what I'm saying to you? What I desire to see is you speaking to people that you don't know in the building. See, because here's the reality. 9 times out of 10, if you're not speaking to them when you see them, you ain't praying for them when you don't. Huh? Everybody rushing out the door like Golden Corral gonna run out of food. You need to make it your business, amen, to look across the room and go, I don't know them. Let me go say hello. Huh? Mothers, commit yourselves to create a loving environment in your home. Do your best to make sure that each person in the home is loved, valued, respected, and heard. Can I say something? No. I'm gonna act right. Don't allow mean and foul remarks in your anger. Seek to foster a team spirit where each person encourages and supports the other. I'm gonna go ahead and say it anyway. Mama, don't be cussing your child out. Huh? Do you understand how you destroy your child every time you call your child out their name? Mother, do you understand that you are the one that they trust more than anyone? And what does it feel like to be 6 years old and can't trust the one that I'm supposed to be able to trust? Y'all ain't here. Set the example of a loving sacrifice for your children so that they might learn to sacrifice for others. Mama, every home needs love. Be sure you are raising your children in a loving, caring atmosphere. And some of you may be thinking, well, the daddy's here too, but it ain't Father's Day. I'm talking to Mama today. Amen. Don't give me no stuff. We supposed to be in the book of Acts. Y'all the one gonna look at me crazy if I don't do his stuff. Now, if you're not sure of what a loving home and atmosphere looks like, let's look at verse number 6. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. In other words, we cannot separate love for God or love for each other from obedience to God's command. We must learn, follow, and teach God's commands in the home. You hear me? Do you know that? Well, you know, you send your kids to school. Amen. You don't know what they learning. You let your friend, your kids spend a night over such and such's house. And you know, you spoke to the parents, but you don't know what they teach. You understand what I'm saying to you? We should be intentional about every day spending time in God's word yourself and with your children. And this isn't easy. This isn't always easy because life will have so much going on, but beloved, we have to try. Lord, have mercy. God's word contains the blueprint to be happy, to have joy. And as we teach the truth to our children and walk it out before them, they too will learn to walk according to the truth. So you have know the truth, practice the truth, and then finally, and we're almost done, guard the truth. This one's deep. Guard the truth. So, oh Lord, have mercy. You have to know the truth, practice the truth, and guard the truth. And the third responsibility of the Christian mother is to guard the truth in her home. This is major. John knew that false teachers were common. Amen. You go on YouTube, they're all over the place. And so he writes to the chosen lady and her children in order to warn them about the danger of letting go of the truth. John doesn't mince words on this subject. Look at verse number 7. I say this because many deceivers have gone out into the world. They deny that Jesus Christ came in a real body. Such a person is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, the false teaching in John's day had to do with the nature of Jesus. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. And you ought to be excited about that, because some people would say he was 50% God and 50% man. And if that was the numbers, then only 50% of your issues could you be delivered from. But because he was 100% man and 100% God, every issue that you got, you can be delivered from. Amen. I don't care how long you've been going through it. I don't care how big it is. I don't care what you've lost because of it. There ain't a struggle in your life that you cannot overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, have mercy. So these false teachers, they were going around denying Christ's human nature. This was heresy and deadly to the gospel, for Christ could not die for humanity's sins if he were not truly human himself. Yeah, he gets deep, huh? John calls such teachers the deceiver and the antichrist. Those are strong words. Let me tell you how it's getting over, though. See, because if we don't really read, right? If we ain't really about this life for real, right? Words like deceiver and antichrist mean nothing to you. Well, okay, what's so big about that? Because you could work next to them every day. You could be dropping your kids off at their daycare. You understand what I'm saying to you. You could be footing the bill at some university that's going to teach them against Jesus. See, so some of you be trying to figure out, why is my kid off the hook? Why is my kid a trip? I just can't get it with this kid. But the reality is, if you got in the Bible more and you begin to understand some of the warnings, like what we're talking about right now, then you might be able to step back and say, am I releasing my child to a deceiver? How many antichrists is my child around every day? You see what I'm saying to you? So what false messages do your children hear today? They hear things like truth is relative. How about this one? Lying, you know, you lie when it's convenient. I just told a little white lie. Win at all cost. Huh? It doesn't matter what you do as long as you ain't hurting nobody. Huh? And the list goes on. The world finds any number of ways to deny Christ and his teachings. Listen to the messages society is feeding your children. Know what your kids are watching on TV. Listen to their music. Beware of what the schools are teaching. Your home is the first line of defense. Who will protect your children from falsehood if not you? Huh? But you can't be playing music with profanity all in it in the crib and then telling your kids don't cuss. Go sit down somewhere. I don't know where you get that cussing from. Sure you do. You cuss. Huh? I don't know about nobody else in here, but I remember the times that you couldn't watch cable after 8 o'clock because that's when all the profanity shows was going to be on. That's when it was going to be, you know, sex in those shows. And you couldn't watch. You understand what I'm saying? So you couldn't watch those. I just told y'all how old I was, didn't I? You couldn't watch those. But now you ain't even got to have cable. And they shooting shots at your child. Look at what John says in verse 8. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked so hard to achieve. Be diligent so that you receive your full reward. Now this is deep. This is deep. John says, watch out that you don't lose what you have worked for. In other words, don't lose your children to falsehood. The enemy would love to destroy your children with the world's lies. Guard the truth. Don't let your children be deceived. I have a 16-year-old and she's, you know, she's got a, you know, she's 16. And the only way I can describe it. But I stay, and my wife stay having to defend the truth in our home. You understand what I'm saying to you? Not a bad kid, but I bless God that she brings home and things that confuse her. She says this. Well, I heard this today at school. What do you think about that? And I got a friend, and we have to say what thus saith the Lord. Let me make it plain. Mothers, dads, even catch this yourself. You can't care about your kid's feelings. Huh? Some of y'all ain't like it. You still can't. You can't be caring about your kids' feelings. They feelings ain't nowhere in the Bible. Your feelings ain't nowhere in the Bible. You understand what I'm saying to you? You have been giving the responsibility and honor to raise, watch this, God's child. Because that baby was his before it was yours. And he's watching how you raising what he loaned you. Right? Bless you. Listen, labor, mother, pray, mother, teach and correct that you know the full reward of the child is a child who walks in the truth of God. Let me address, and I'm done almost. Let me address the children that are here today, both young and old. Some of you were raised in the faith. Your mothers taught you well, not perfectly because none of us are perfect, but they taught you well. You know the truth, but the question is, are you walking in it? Are you walking in it? You see, it's not enough just to be raised with the right teaching. You've got to walk it out. I want you to look at verse number 9 very carefully. Anyone who wanders away from this teaching has no relationship with God. But anyone who remains in the teaching of Christ, has a relationship with both the Father and the Son. Did you see that? If you do not continue in Christ's teaching, you do not have God. John could not put it any stronger here. If you have been running from God in your life, let me encourage you, come back today. It would be the greatest Mother's Day present that you could possibly ever give your mother. Don't let your mother lose what she has worked and prayed for in your life. Remember, the Christian parent has no greater joy than knowing that their children are walking in the truth. Do you know why? Because as long as you're walking in the truth, you are safe. As long as you are walking in the truth, I don't got to worry about you. As long as you are walking in the truth, you understand what I'm saying to you? That there's, I can rest well at night, not because I'm a great mother, not because you got a great father. I can rest well at night because Abba, your father, is who you have chosen to follow, and so I can sleep. Finally, verses 10 through 11, if anyone comes to your meeting and does not teach the truth about Christ, don't invite that person into your home or give any kind of encouragement. And anyone who encourages such people becomes a partner in their evil work. Now, John was talking about not letting any false teachers into your home. You ready for this? And if he was talking about don't let no false teachers into your home, then you bet not be one yourself. Uh-oh. The false teachers in his time would travel from city to city, and they depended on people's homes for hospitality and to set up a home base for their operations. John says, don't let them in your crib. Don't give them a platform for their message. By doing so, you only share in their work against the truth. Now, we may not have traveling false teachers today, but I believe we can apply this verse by saying, don't allow falsehood into your home. I'm gonna ask a question, and I'm gonna encourage you not to lie. Just keep it real, okay? How many of you, by a show of hands, still like a little rap music? I'm talking about the rap music with the profanity in it. None of you ride down the highway and every now and again hit Tupac's Picture Me Rolling. Let's take it deeper. How many of you got cable or satellite? You watch movies, Netflix, and all of that. Tubi, all that, right, man? And have you ever been in the middle of a good movie? But it's the part where, and it's the part where they're doing a whole lot of cussing. Are they getting high, drunk? And then your kid come down the stairs and you keep letting it play. You're letting falsehood in your home. And you ever had to pause the movie? Where my wife at? Okay. And that officer up there? Keep an eye on that. In my house, I'm not allowed to watch certain things. So I have to, kind of like when I'm trying to watch what I want to watch, I got to watch and kind of keep my ear over because she's little and I can't hear her coming down the steps that good. And I got to watch the show twice because I'm always missing something trying to catch her. And then she'll yell down the steps, you know, like from the bedroom. You might as well repent before you come to bed. And I always kick back, and I will. Anything that you let in your home, all jokes aside, right, that is contrary to Christ, you are sharing it with everyone that's in your home. And the problem with that is everybody's not old enough, grown enough, mature enough in the Lord to fight off those demons. You see what I'm saying? So you know, we teach children the truth from God's word in the home, and then we allow ungodly influences into our home which speak against the truth. Can I talk to the single mama today? When you're trying to preach Jesus to your child and you want your children to respond to Jesus, your boyfriend probably shouldn't spend the night. Because everything that you've been teaching your kid about, right, you just erased it. Oh, let me go on. You just spoke against the truth. Without thinking or discernment, we rent our living rooms to whatever message that Hollywood chooses to broadcast on the TV. It is the same message that you are trying to teach your children. Why undo all the good work that you've done? Time and again, I have seen good Christian families, I promise you, tear down the foundation that they've been building in their children by allowing falsehood in their homes. And you know how that happens? Because you're not discerning the spirits. John says, if you welcome falsehood into your home, you share in its wicked work, which is to tear down Christ and his influence on your children. In closing, mothers, guard the truth in your home. Protect your home from falsehood and ungodly influences. Mothers, know the truth. Come to know Christ as your Savior. Come to know the Spirit of truth who lives within the believer. Come to know God's grace, mercy, and peace. Mothers, practice the truth. Nurture a loving environment in your home. Teach your children God's word and live it out yourself. Mothers, guard the truth. Protect your children from ungodly influences. Teach your children how to discern truth from error. Make your home a sanctuary of truth. Don't allow anything in your home which would undercut Christ's teachings. Watch out. Do not lose what you've worked for. I want to say this in closing. I pray that it hits home. And I wish we had all of our mothers in here tonight, because the challenge is deep. And the challenge that I challenge every mother with is to raise your kids in the Lord. And some of you may be sitting here today going, man, I missed that moment. My children are grown and they're doing their own thing. Beloved, keep walking out this faith. Let me tell you something. They might not come to church with you. They might not come to Bible study. They might act like, you know, they might not text back when you text them a Bible verse every day. But keep living Jesus in their view. We are in a season. We've been in it for some time now, but it's really acting out now. We're living in a season where everything is crazy. And you don't show your love by paying the electric bill when they low. You don't show your love to them by giving them everything that they ask for. And let me tell you how Satan has put this thing together. Everything that we're supposed to be about is everything that our children don't want to be about, because they left your house. They left your house and they heard this. And they get to have fun. They you know, God don't stop them from this, that, and the other, right? And so holiness is hard for a child that is constantly around unholy people. Pick their friends. I remember back in the day, you didn't just call and say, is my son going to be over your house? Okay, cool. No, no, no. My Gigi would drive to the house Thursday, have a conversation with who's over the house, amen, and then bring me back Friday to spend the night. And I had to call twice. Stop being their mothers that, if I can just catch a babysitter, I don't care what they're talking about. Just take these kids for a day. Amen. Mothers, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, mothers. I thank God for you. And some of you are sitting in here and you have messed up along the way, if we're just being real. We done dropped the ball a time or two because keeping it real, being a mama ain't easy. But they did write a playbook for it. And it's called the Word of God. And if you will raise your child, your children, mothers, in the way of God, in the way of God, the Bible says that train up a child in the way they should go. And when they grow old, they won't depart from it. Now, it don't mean that they won't smell theyself every now and again. But they'll come back to what they know. Amen. Every mother in the house, stand to your feet.